Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The first three chief parts of the Catechism taught us God's commandments for how He commands His people to live, how we confess our God, who He is, what He has done, is doing, and will do for us. And in the third chief part, which we considered last week, how God teaches us to pray to Him and the things for which He would have us ask. In the last three chief parts of the Small Catechism, we see three specific ways in which God interacts with us. Three gifts He has given to us in the Christian church here on earth. And the first of these is the sacrament of holy baptism. Let's define sacrament. The scriptures don't use the word at all, so the church comes up with a definition, and the Lutheran definition is, I think, very fitting. When Lutherans use the word sacrament, we're talking about outward ceremonies, visible signs that God has established and commanded. Ceremonies in which some earthly element, like water, is used. Ceremonies to which God has attached a promise to do something for us, namely, to forgive us our sins and to save us from sin, death, and the devil. And so we turn to the sacrament of holy baptism. And there are four parts to the Catechism explanation of it. First, what is it? Well, Christian baptism is always a washing with water. It's always a water baptism. The evangelicals have tried to separate spirit baptism from water baptism, placing a much greater emphasis on spirit baptism. But to be blunt, they don't have any idea what they're talking about. We'll come back to that in a moment. For now, understand that when we talk about Christian baptism, holy baptism, we're always talking about water, but not plain water, not just any use of water. It isn't a Christian baptism when you wash your hands or when you take a shower or take a bath. The Greek word itself, baptism, can be used for any washing. The word itself can refer to dipping someone or something into water, as Naaman dipped himself seven times in the Jordan River in the first lesson you heard tonight, where the Greek word for dipped is actually the same word as baptized. But the word can also refer to sprinkling water or pouring water, or to the ritual washing of hands, pitchers, cups, or couches. In those cases, a baptism is just a washing with water. But actually, in Naaman's case, it was more than that, wasn't it? Because his washing in the Jordan River was done at the command of God. God, through the prophet Elisha, told Naaman to go and wash in the Jordan seven times, and you shall be clean. So Naaman's washing was done at God's command. So it is with baptism. It's the water included in God's command and connected to God's word. Our Lord Christ says to His apostles in the last chapter of Matthew, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The 11 apostles received the command and authorization from Jesus to baptize in His name. in the name of the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they, in turn, along with the rest of the church, later ordained other ministers to carry out this important command. Meanwhile, all nations are the one, Jesus said, who were to be baptized, just as Peter also commanded the crowds on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." God has commanded the use of water in the washing that we call holy baptism. Second, what does baptism do? As Luther says in the explanation of the Catechism, it works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. This is a very important part of baptism, a part that our Baptist neighbors thoroughly reject. Baptism does something. Look at what happened with Naaman. God had promised through Elisha that washing 7 times in the Jordan River would result in his being cleansed of his leprosy. When Naaman finally gave in and washed himself according to God's command, he was cleansed, because God promised to do something miraculous for him through that simple washing. So it is with baptism. God promises to do something through this simple washing. "Repent and be baptized," Peter said in Acts chapter 2, "for the forgiveness of sins. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins," said Ananias to Saul. "Baptism now saves you," Peter declares in 1 Peter 3. "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved," says the Lord in Mark 16. "You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ," says Paul in Galatians 3. God promised physical cleansing to Naaman in that one-time baptism-like ceremony he was to undergo in the Jordan River. He promises to give spiritual cleansing and even greater spiritual blessings to all who are washed in holy baptism, no matter where they are or who they are. But faith is required in order for a person to receive the promised blessing. Baptism works salvation, the Catechism says, to all who believe this. Naaman didn't have a strong faith, a strong, unwavering faith in God's promise. But eventually, it took at least a little faith for him to finally do what the prophet had told him to do, with some hope that it would actually do what he promised, or else he wouldn't have dipped in the dirty Jordan River 7 times. So Jesus also says, not whoever is baptized will be saved, but whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Third, how does baptism do all this? It isn't the water that actually does it. All the power is in God's word and promise. With the word of God, it is truly a baptism, a water of life rich in grace and a washing of regeneration in the Holy Spirit. Faith comes by hearing, because the Spirit of God is always at work in the word when it's preached. So too, the Spirit of God works in the word that's preached in connection with water when it's applied to someone in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The word of God says to a person, "Be baptized and have your sins washed away." And the Holy Spirit works through that word, convincing the person that, yes, God will do as He has promised. So the person proceeds to the washing of baptism, takes God at His word, and is born again of water and the Spirit, having his sins washed away. Let's go back to that Spirit baptism for a moment. The Spirit is and always has been at work wherever the Word of God is preached. But the original baptism with the Holy Spirit, as John the Baptist and as Jesus referred to it, took place on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out on the believers in Jerusalem. That day of Pentecost was unique. It doesn't keep happening. What does keep happening is the giving of the Holy Spirit to the baptized in connection with holy baptism. As Peter said at Pentecost, "Repent, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Not necessarily the outward miraculous gifts of the Spirit, like the speaking in tongues, but the Spirit Himself comes to dwell in and with the baptized believer. So that St. Paul can say to each baptized believer in 1 Corinthians, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God?" And that leads us into the fourth and final part of baptism in the Catechism. What continual significance does baptism have in the life of the baptized? It says, "It signifies that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise again to live forever before God in righteousness and purity." We're only baptized the once, because baptism is like being born. It can't be repeated. It's God's adoption ceremony, an initiation ceremony into the New Testament and into the Holy Christian Church. Our initial being clothed with Christ Jesus in the sight of God. When we're baptized, it doesn't erase or remove the sinful nature, the old Adam that we're all born with. It covers it instead. It adds something to it. It creates a second nature, a new man within the Christian. And it's the new man in us whom God calls on continually to walk with the Spirit who was given to you in baptism. Now He dwells with you. Walk with Him. He dwells alongside the new man in us, constantly urging him to drown the old Adam with its sin and evil desires by daily contrition and repentance, so that the old Adam dies with those sins and evil desires. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit coaxes and guides the new man to emerge and arise daily, to live before God in righteousness and purity, here on earth now in a beginning way, and forever in heaven in a perfect way. That daily dying to sin and arising from the grave to live a new life is pictured for us in baptism. Remember, baptism is not only a picture or a symbol, it actually does some amazing things. But it is also a picture or a symbol, a picture of dying and rising again. God calls on you, His baptized children, to live each day in your baptism, to count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. remembering that it was through baptism that God united you to the death of Christ, to the burial of Christ, so that you may arise each day just as He arose from the dead and walk with Him in His new life. The new life that began with, the new life that still receives its power from, the sacrament of holy baptism. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.